Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So, we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, we have reports from Ann Ball, Phil Dierking, and me. As always, we finish our show with an American story. Today, we hear part 3 of A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs. But first, here's some news from Washington.
The United States Senate has taken the first step toward ending President Barack Obama's health care program. Canceling the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is one of the top goals of the Republican Party and President-elect Donald Trump. Early Thursday, the Senate voted 51-48 to approve rules that permit a repeal of the act to go forward with only a simple majority vote. The Republicans control 52 of the Senate's 100 seats. The Democratic Party controls 46 seats, with 2 independents holding 2 others. Under the rules, Senate Democrats are no longer able to block or delay future votes on Obamacare by making a long speech or series of speeches. This technique, called a filibuster, has often been used over the years in American politics. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky is the Senate Majority Leader. He praised the passage of the measure Thursday. He said it would help repeal this failed law while we move ahead with smarter health care policies. Georgia Senator David Perdue, another Republican, said Obamacare is collapsing and that his party has ideas to make it better. Senate Democrats criticized the vote, noting the lack of a clear replacement for the health care program. It's official. Senate Republicans have taken the first step to take away your health care without a replacement, wrote Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey. Republican leaders plan to have the actual measure for canceling the legislation ready by the end of January. Congressional Republicans have yet to present a consensus plan on how to replace the law. Obamacare has brought insurance to some 20 million Americans who had no health care plan before. President-elect Trump said Wednesday that he wants both the repeal and replace efforts to take place at the same time. In 2010, Democratic lawmakers passed the Affordable Care Act when they controlled both houses of Congress. The Democrats argue the law has helped slow the growth in health care spending and brought health care coverage to the poor. They also say it protects those with health problems who had been denied insurance under the old system. Republicans have opposed the ACA since its passage. They argue that it costs too much and that individual states should have more control over healthcare spending. In his speech on Tuesday, Obama said that he would publicly support any plan that covers the same number of people at a lower cost. I'm Ann Ball.
Thank you, Ann. There was more action at the U.S. Capitol on Friday. The Republican-led U.S. House of Representatives approved a measure ordering committees to write legislation to cancel the health care law.
After a year of clashes between American citizens and police officers, police in Alaska are trying something different, making 2017 a year of kindness. The police department in Juneau, Alaska, launched the campaign to urge residents to perform at least one act of kindness every day. The department says it hopes to build bridges between people to overcome racial, religious, or socioeconomic differences. The idea for the campaign came from Police Lieutenant Chris Sell. She told VOA that her concern was not just for police, but also for safety of citizens.
I had this idea in about late August that we needed to do something, and that maybe all of these attacks, if they have at their roots hate, we can go after the hate. And how we can go after the hate is with kindness.
Sell said the Juneau police are doing several different things to support the campaign. For example, officers are giving away donated socks the first Saturday of each month for anyone who needs them. She also said the police department has developed a kindness surge calendar. Juneau residents and community groups can sign up for weekly activities on the planner. Sell said the goal is to measure the effect of kindness on crime, suicides, and emergency calls by the end of 2017. She adds that the campaign has received a lot of support.
What I did is went out to the community to say, how about we as an entire town push back against hatred and violence and just negativity? And I got a tremendous amount of support. The town was very excited about it. I'm not sure why this particular effort resonates so much with people, but I think it has to do with a position across the country that people don't like what they're seeing happening around them, and they want to do something to try and change their environment.
Sell said it makes sense for police officers to take the lead on a kindness campaign because they are the people who react when people don't treat others well. She hopes the campaign will spread across the country so other communities become nicer places to live.
I can change what I do every day, and I can change the area 6 feet around me, but if I get thousands of people in the community on board with doing that, I think you can change an entire community. And that's what we're hoping to prove with this initiative, is that we can change what it feels like to live in a particular city.
She noted that the kindness campaign does not extend to law enforcement activities. Tickets for speed or other traffic violations are not being forgiven. I'm Phil Dierking.
Millions of people have immigrated to America with the dream of a new and better life. That dream becomes reality for some, but for others it does not. Mental health problems, language difficulties, family issues, and the high cost of living can prevent immigrants from finding their place. In New York City, thousands of immigrants are homeless. Philip Malbranch used to be one of them. He is Haitian American. For 17 years, Malbranch was homeless. He moved between shelters and the streets. Today, he finally has a place to sleep each night. But finding that was not easy. All across New York City, officials struggle to meet the demands of its shelter-seeking homeless population. More than 60,000 people in America's largest city are homeless. That number is 82% higher than it was 10 years ago. Malbranch says homeless immigrants and minorities especially face great difficulties. If an immigrant happens to be homeless, he or she has the double problem of suffering from the stereotype involved in both groups, he said. They may also be more vulnerable, says Jeff Foreman. He is with Care for the Homeless, a not-for-profit social services and healthcare organization in New York. We constantly hear of our clients who have worked hard but not gotten paychecks, he told VOA. When a person doesn't speak English as their first language and is not familiar with all the cultural customs of society, it is much easier to take advantage of them. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development says the number of homeless people in America has dropped by 14% since 2010. But Foreman said that the rates of homelessness differ greatly across the country. He said any long-term solution to the problem must include housing. There's a real need for subsidized housing, for supportive housing, and for more public housing if we are going to solve the homeless crisis in New York City, Foreman said. Dej Singh was born in the island nation of Trinidad. Her family is from India. She once almost became homeless while living in Queens, an area of New York City. I was living in my apartment in Queens. I lived there for 7 years. And then the landlord sold the building. They said everybody had to go, she said. That same week, Singh also lost her job. Suddenly, she had no place to stay. I didn't know what to do because my family, none of them lives here, she said. But Singh had some good luck. She soon found a job as a nurse's assistant. She had a place to stay, too. I call it Saved by the Bell, Singh said, with tears in her eyes. I got a job, and the person wanted me to stay with them. So I was staying with them in Manhattan and working, too. In Singh's case, realizing her American dream remains possible. She will soon become a U.S. citizen. And one day, she hopes to visit India, her ancestral home. She said her opinions of the homeless community around her will remain forever changed. Homelessness could happen to anybody at any time, Singh said. Homeless people are nice people. They just have had bad luck sometimes. It's time for an American story. Today we hear part 3 of A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Another of the large airships exploded high. Members of the crew fell to the ground. The huge ship lost control and began turning again and again. Soon, it was close to the ground. The warriors climbed aboard the ship and began fighting the members of the crew who were still alive. Soon, the fighting stopped. The warriors began taking everything from the ship. At last, they brought a captive from deep within the ship. Two of the warriors had their captive by each arm. I wanted to see what new and strange form of life this creature would be. As they came near, I saw that it was a woman. She looked like a woman from Earth. She was young. Her skin was a light red, almost a copper color. I saw at once that she was extremely beautiful. She had a fine face, with large dark eyes and long black hair. As her guards led her away, she saw me for a moment. She seemed very surprised. Her face looked hopeful, but when I made no attempt to speak to her, her face grew sad, and she looked very small and frightened. As I watched her disappear into a building, I realized that Sola was near me.
John Carter, that woman will be saved for the great games that are held by our people. The games are long and cruel, and end in death for those captured in battle. Her death will be slow and painful. She will die for the enjoyment of all.
Sola's face seemed sad when she said this. I could tell by the way she spoke that she did not like the games and did not want to see the young woman die. She was very different from the rest of her people. Sola, do you not like the games?
No, John Carter. My mother died in the games. That is a secret you must not tell anyone. The wall where Tars Tarkas found you held eggs that produce our young. All the children belong to the tribe. A mother never knows which child is hers when they come out of the egg. My mother hid the egg that carried me. It was not placed within the walled area. She kept her secret until after I was born. But others discovered her secret, and she was condemned to die in the games. She hid me among other children before she was captured. If this secret were learned, I, too, would die in the games. Before she left me, my mother told me the name of my father. I alone keep that secret. It would mean death for him as well as me. My people are violent and cruel.
The next day I entered the great room where the green Martians held meetings. The red woman prisoner was there too. Soon, the leader of the green Martians came into the room. His name was Lorquas Tomel. He began speaking to the prisoner.
Who are you? And what is your name?
I am the Princess Deja Thoris, daughter of Mors Kajak, the ruler of Helium. Our airship was on a scientific flight. We were to study the air and atmosphere. Without our work, the air on our planet would grow thin and we would all die. Why would you attack us?
As she talked, a warrior ran to her and hit her in the face, knocking her to the ground. He placed a foot on her small body and began laughing. I reached for the small sword I carried and rushed to attack the huge warrior. He was a strong opponent. But again, because of the low gravity on Mars, my strength was far greater than his. In a few short minutes, the green warrior was dead. I helped the young woman to her feet.
Who are you? Why did you risk your life to help me? You look almost the same as my people, but you wear the weapons of a green warrior. Who or what are you?
My name is John Carter. I am from the planet Earth. How I got here is a long story. I attacked that warrior because where I come from, men do not attack women. I will offer you my protection as long as I can. However, I must tell you that I too am a captive.
Come, John Carter, and bring the Red Woman with you. Let us leave this room quickly, before some warrior attempts to stop us.
The three of us quickly returned to the building where I had spent the last several days. Sola then left to prepare food. Wulla sat in the corner and looked at the both of us. The young woman was afraid of poor, ugly Wulla. I told her not to fear him. Wulla is not only my guard, he is my friend. I have treated him with kindness that he has never known. As each day passes, he trusts me more. I now think he would follow any command I give. Sola has told me that all captives are held until they can die in the great games held by the Green Martians. Our only chance to survive is to escape, but we must have Sola's help for our plan to succeed.
Yes, if we stay with the Green Warriors, we will both die. If we are to escape, we will need several of the animals to ride. It will be our only chance.
I have several of the animals. They were given to me when I became a warrior. Sola came back later with food for the two of us. Deja Thoris and I asked for her help. The three of us talked long into the night. At last, Sola gave us her answer.
Your best chance for escape will be in the next 2 days. We will leave this city tomorrow and begin a long trip to the home of our tribe. I will help you escape. But I must come with you. I will be killed if you escape.
Sola, of course you must come with us. You are not cruel or violent, as many of your people are. Help us, and I can promise you a much better life. You will be treated with respect as an honored guest.
The next morning, we rode away from the city on our animals. More than 1,000 animals were carrying the huge tribe of green Martians. Also in the group were one American, one princess of the royal house of Helium, our guard Sola, and poor, ugly Wulla. Late that night we left the camp. One animal carried me, another Sola and Princess Deja Thoris. Wulla followed close behind. We rode quickly through the Martian night. I looked into the sky and saw Earth across the great distance of space. Since I had met the Princess Deja Thoris, I had not thought once of Earth or home. I knew then that I would never willingly leave her. The next morning I could see that we were being followed by several hundred of the green warriors. Our animals were very tired. I knew we must stop. I told Sola and the princess to take the stronger of the two animals and ride away. I will hold back the green warriors as long as I can. Wulla, go with them and guard them with your life.
We can't leave you alone. It would be certain death if you are captured again. You must come with us.
Sola took the princess by the arm and lifted her on top of the animal she had chosen. Quickly, she began riding away. For a moment, Wulla looked at me, then turned and ran after them. I took out my rifle from its case. I began firing to slow the green warriors. I was able to slow them for more than an hour, but then I had no more ammunition. Soon, I was surrounded. A green warrior got off his animal and came toward me. He pulled out his long, thin sword. I reached for mine. As we neared each other, I saw it was Tars Tarkas. He stopped and spoke to me very slowly.
You will die here today, John Carter. It is I who must kill you. Know that I will take no pleasure in your death.
That was part 3 of A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Next week, we bring you the 4th and final part of that American story. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. We hope you'll come back tomorrow for another Learning English program on the Voice of America.